sermon is entitled Jesus the Preacher, taken from Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 11, 16 to 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lamb among wolves. Do not take purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the workers deserve his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its street and say, 'Even the dust of your town we weep from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" Verse 16, "Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returns with joy and say, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trumpet on snakes, scorpions, and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name are written in heaven." I would like to invite Reverend Tan to speak to us.
Good morning, church. It's wonderful to be here. I think this is my second time preaching from this pulpit, and I really want to thank the leadership for sharing the pulpit with me. Of course, they don't have much of a choice because it's CAC Sunday anyway. So today is a day that I'll be speaking from this passage. I think Sally was expecting something from missions. We can check my Facebook page for more mission stuff, I suppose. Yes, I would like to share more about missions, and I hope to actually unpack this passage for us this morning so that we can actually see what is it that Jesus is talking about when we have the title for us this morning as Jesus the Preacher. I understand you have a little piece of paper in your bulletins that you can actually note down, and I apologize for not sending in my outline soon enough. Yeah, I understand there's this outline thing. I think that's really cool, but I wasn't able to send my outline in soon enough. But I just would like to guide all of us into this passage, and as we unpack this, I hope to at least prompt you what are some of the thoughts and how do we structure this passage for our understanding. So without further ado, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable unto you. Amen. We have this passage that is, again, using what President was saying, using an agricultural metaphor, And the agriculture part here is the thing about the harvest. All right, we have the harvest, and Jesus was probably standing near a field, and he was explaining to his listeners that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, there are two problems for us here. First of all, we are not very familiar with an agricultural setting. We saw a picture of two oxen being tied together by that wooden pole. We're not so familiar because here in Singapore, we don't have farms, okay? We maybe have, I don't know what sort of farms we have, you know, maybe hard disk farms or something, you know, server farms or something. But we have never seen the kind of farm that Jesus here is talking about. So he's talking about an agricultural metaphor here, all right? He's using this farming picture. But at the same time, we also have the other problem, laborers, because we have never seen what a laborer in the farm looks like. We may have seen it maybe on YouTube or something like this, but to actually see it in real life, it can be quite different. The only kind of laborers that we are familiar with are the foreign laborers that we find building our wonderful buildings. I'm sure that many of their hands have been involved in building this wonderful building that we now can gather in and to worship. So I think that the best way to illustrate what a laborer is with the foreign laborers that we have here. All right, I have a picture for us. And you know, the first thing that Jesus tells us is how we need to request. We need to request for these laborers, or I put it here, request for preachers. Okay, and when we request for preachers, I need to also describe what these preachers really look like. Okay, I don't know it's whether you can see, but you see a lorry, and then there's this foreman who's kind of measuring the lorry there. And if you can see in the lorry, there are some workers in there. You can tell by the yellow helmets. You count the number of yellow helmets, that's the number of workers they have in that truck, in the lorry. Okay, Singapore we call lorry. I think the US is called trucks. Yeah, okay. So anyway, we see laborers here in Singapore as that. We don't see them doing any farming activity. All right. Sometimes we are at the back of the lorry. We see that they have certain stickers explaining how they need to sit in the truck, sit in the lorry. How they the lorry is expected to carry only this many people, and then there's also some instructions on how to open the back of the lorry and things like that. Right. Now I took this picture of the One Singapore Motoring. Apparently, that's the only picture I could find. And here, and there, it actually shows the measurements of how your truck. You must design your truck in such a way that it protects the laborers inside. You know, and you know, Singapore is very big on safety. You know, safety first. You know, and if we are going to be first at anything, we should be first at safety. So we actually measure the truck. You know, we built this very nice shelter. It has to be, I don't know, something like 1 point something meters from something. There are all the measurements. You can go check it up online. Don't do that now. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you just pay attention here first. But believe me, you can find all the measurements there, and we are very strict about this. In fact, we are so strict about this that I think sometimes our laborers just stay in the truck so that we can get our safety project done well. You know, we have this truck in such a way that we protect the laborers so much that they don't go out into the field to work. Can you imagine if we drive this truck and, you know, we want to ensure the safety of our vehicles, safety of our laborers, you know, we drive it just to the work site and all the foreman does is just measure and make sure that all his dimensions are correct and that his laborers are well protected. He never lets down the tailgate. He never asked them to come out. Now, what kind of a laborer would that be? A very happy one, I suppose. He gets paid for sitting in the truck so that we can look at our safety standards and say, yes, we are number one in safety. But I think when we talk about requesting for laborers and requesting for preachers, we are expecting our laborers to go out into this world. We are expecting people to go out into the brokenness, into the darkness, into the sinfulness, and to preach the gospel. Here, Jesus uses the word sent out. The word sent out here has got a very interesting meaning. It is not sent out as in, you know, some of you may be thinking, you know, being sent out, I get an approval letter from from somewhere, you know, from the head office, and then they tell me I should go out and do this and do that. And with that approval letter, you know, I go and do all those kind of things. No, the kind of sent out here has got quite a different connotation. The word used there actually has the meaning of throw out, expel, drive out, sending out for a purpose, leading out, or even exorcise a demon. You got all that? So when we request for preachers, what we are doing them is we are throwing them out, driving them out, sending them out, or maybe like exorcising them from their comfort zones. You get a picture here? Jesus is asking that we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers, send out preachers. I don't know about you, but that's a scary prayer to pray. Maybe it's not so scary for many of you because you don't think of yourselves as a laborer, you don't think of yourself as a preacher, but it is a scary prayer to pray, to be sent out. It is going out there not because headquarters have summoned you. It is not because you have some internal self-actualization goals that you want to fulfill that you go out and do stuff. But you are actually basically, if you understand the connotation, that you're basically being kicked out. You see that? So when we pray for preachers, or when we request for laborers to go out into the field, to go out to minister, we are asking God to kick them out, to get out there. Now, what has that got to do with my truck? Okay, I think we try to protect our laborers too much. We are so worried that they will go out there and, you know, get stained by the sin of the world and, you know, all kinds of things. But we must remember that we must be in the world but not of the world. When we pray, I want you to pray like this. I want you to pray that God will allow even our church leaders the courage to let down that tailgate and send out those laborers into the work sites, into the places that really need to hear the gospel. Don't keep them in the lorry. Don't keep them in the lorry and tell the whole world how safe we are. What is a lorry anyway? I've got an acronym for the lorry, and just to help us to understand that. A lorry, L-O-R-R-Y. And let's click all of that. Yeah? What is a lorry really? It's really laborers en route. Yeah, we have that. Laborers en route reaching yonder. Okay, we got to go southern here. We're going to reach yonder, folks. We're going to send our laborers. We're going to send not just others, but we're going to send ourselves. So this is a prayer, really, that is going to scare all of us because we are expected to send ourselves to be laborers. You know, just to dwell on this topic a little bit more. Yeah, let's have that all out on there. Let's dwell on this a little bit more. Wesley, when he was looking for laborers for this entire Methodist movement, he was looking for people who could lead the small groups. You know, he appointed preachers. He appointed preachers. Now, he used that term rather deliberately. He did not use the word pastors. He did not appoint pastors because that term was available, you know, with the Reformed Church. He did not use the word priests because that was used by the Anglicans of his time. But he used the word preachers for a very purpose, that they are to be sent out the same way Jesus is sending out laborers into the harvest field. He will be sending them out into these small groups, into the nooks and crannies of the cities, and to preach and to be effective in their work. The second R, if we request for preachers, then all of us preachers here, be prepared that we will be facing rejection. we will be facing rejection. In his sending out briefing, Jesus was saying to his preachers, he says, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, that's verse 4, huh? And greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if anyone shares in the peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. The words, but if not, is a possibility that you will be rejected. But you tell me, you know, oh, pastor, you know, we don't take it personally, lah. You know, it's just work. You know, we don't have to be so personal about it. Well, yeah, it's true. We don't have to be personal about it. So Jesus suggests that you even knock off the dust off your shoes from that town and just go off. All right. But here we need to understand that there will be a possibility that rejection will be experienced. If we are going to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, we're going to begin to count ourselves as one of those laborers. And we have to also begin to prepare ourselves to face rejection. You know, I think the kind of rejection that we need to face in our day and age has got to do more with the kind of consumeristic, materialistic culture that we live in today. You know, and Jesus knew that when he says, you know, carry no purse with you, you know, take no sandals with you, take no bag. In other words, you know, the bag is a symbol of accumulation of things. Yeah? Accumulation of things along the way. You know, I learned very earlier on, being a missionary, that, you know, if you have too many things, it slows you down. You know, you got to worry about how you're going to keep things, you know, nice and neat, you know. My wife and I always joke with each other, you know, whatever we buy, it's got to have handlebars, you know, place, you know, so that we can just grab and go, you know, so that we can be on the move. You know, we can be a little more agile, all right? So here, Jesus is even saying, you know, take no bag so that you don't accumulate stuff, you know. And I think that when we talk about the rejection, yes, we also talk about the kind of rejection of the work that we do as preachers or as laborers in the harvest field. But then again, I think that there are some things that preachers need to reject. And firstly, they need to reject materialism. That's the first rejection by preachers, okay? Materialism. I think we need to be careful that our things do not weigh us down. The second thing I think we need to reject is false teaching. False teaching. All right? False teaching is you must be wondering, how can false teaching enter our church, Pastor? I'll tell you how false teaching can enter our church. I've been observing, you know, Singapore is a country with a lot of smart people. You see, from Mondays to Fridays, we use our smarts to build Singapore up until, you know, I think we are fantastic. We are a great country, you know, we are really innovative, we are really smart at tackling problems, you know. But when it comes to Sunday, many of us come to church, but we park our brains at the door. And we don't hold some of the things that are being done in church in check. We don't have any accountability. We don't worship God with our minds. That's what I'm basically trying to say here. And that's how false teachings come into our church. We have this thing I keep hearing, you know, people tell me, you know, just keep it simple. Don't give us any tough stuff, you know. Just give it simple. You know, we only want simple stuff. But then I look, you know, from Monday to Friday, you know, we tackle really complicated stuff. You know, how the stock market works and all that. That's pretty complicated stuff, don't you think? I don't know. There's some kind of invisible hand that's going around, you know. I don't get it. But we have people who get it. But when they come to church, you know, they seem to totally park their brains with the ushers at the refreshment table outside. And that's how false teaching comes in, my friends. We need to worship God. We need to remember that we worship God also with our minds. And when we do that, rejection of false teaching will happen. The next thing we need to reject is materialism. Like I say again, you know, take no bag with you. That's a symbol. Don't accumulate stuff with you, you know. I suppose as a ordained minister, I'm supposed to model that for everyone, you know. And I suppose the expectations of me hopefully can at least be a reminder for all of you here, you know. We pastors, we don't wear designer clothes, okay? Or at least in the Methodist Church, we don't expect our pastors to wear designer clothes. What a relief, huh? But we only have one design of clothes, which is, you're looking at it, okay? It's as good as it gets, all right? So hopefully, you know, it is a reminder for myself and maybe for all of us, you know, not to be materialistic. And I think the third thing that we need to reject is this politicking here. You know, I know this happens in church, okay? I may be a guest speaker here, but, you know, it takes a very little imagination to expect that, you know, politics does happen in church. And this is a given, all right? There are sometimes people with, you know, very set ways of doing things. You know, they are very stubbornly set in ways, and we all understand that. But then we need to also persuade them. We need to go into trying to appeal to logic and appeal to, you know, the common wisdom and all that. You know, and politics does exist. But politicking is different. Politicking is when you use political power or political currency for your own selfish ambitions. For your own selfish ambitions. And we will talk a little bit about that, because that has got to do with how the 70, when they returned, there is a little bit of politicking going on there. Okay? And these are the three things that we need to embrace. Instead of false teaching, let's embrace instead. Yeah, can we have our clickers? We need to embrace the right teachings by worshiping God with our minds. We need to embrace what I call the three rules. Actually, not what I call the three rules, but this is what our Methodist Wesley teaches us, that we need, instead of materialism, we need to embrace our three rules, which are to earn all you can. Go out Mondays to Fridays, yes, do the best that you can, earn all you can. Okay? Then Wesley goes on to teach us to save all you can. Save all you can isn't a push for investment. It's not a matter of putting your money with equities or bonds or, you know, with some fund manager or anything like that. But it has got to do with frugal living. Okay? Save all you can. It's calling us to a simple lifestyle. And then Wesley goes on to say, to give all you can. All right? I think I don't need to explain the third one. And then instead of politicking, I think we need to focus. We need to focus on the ministry of these laborers, on the ministry of these preachers, which is really to preach, teach, and to heal. Stay focused. Stay on track. Stay on what the mission of the church, or what the objectives of the church really is all about, which is preaching, teaching, and healing, as taught here in this passage. The third R will be what I call the return of the preachers. The return of the preachers is found in the verses 17 onwards. When the 70 returned, they said, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." I'm reading this from the new RSV, the New Revised Standard Version. But most versions I have noticed actually says, you know, we have done this, okay, we have the demons submit to us in your name. Demons submit to us in your name. What is the difference here? It is more the act of the person or what they experience, and then Jesus' name seems to be like a footnote. Okay? Jesus' name is something to underline what these people have experienced. Let me try to explain this a little bit more, but let me exaggerate this a little bit. In other words, what he's saying, Lord, I have preached a fantastic sermon. Lord, I have healed many people. Lord, when I lay hands on them, they spoke in tongues like there's no tomorrow. In your name. You know, it's kind of like an underlying thing, just to make it sound a little sanctified. Sounds a little bit nice. Sounds a little churchy, isn't it? You've heard many people who are out in the ministry, they like to talk about their achievements, you know. And then Jesus' name tends to be like a tag along, you know, giving them some kind of acceptance, some kind of footnote, lah, just to underline all their works. Okay, Lord, in your name, I prophesied. Or rather, Lord, I prophesied and I told many people all these kind of things. Lord, I healed many people. I conducted all these rallies. Lord, I've planted many churches. Lord, I have multiplied so many cell groups in your name. You get that? I don't know. I don't think you have these kind of people in Sengkang Methodist Church. But, you know, in where I am in the missions field, you know, we get this all the time, you know. I get people coming up to me and says, oh, you're from Singapore? Well, oh, that's very good, you know. Here, you know, we do it in this way and this way, and we have this one and that one, you know, and we do it all, you know, and this is my organization and that is my organization, in Jesus' name. All right? Now, when we return as preachers, I think we have to be very careful here that we do not place ourselves ahead of Christ. And this is what exactly the 70 who returned did. Of course, they did it with such joy. And Jesus here gave them a rather strange reply. Don't you think that there was a strange reply? Jesus didn't exactly encounter them, but he actually said to them, yes, 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 I saw Satan fall from heaven, and actually it is I who has given you authority even to tread on snakes and scorpions, and they will not harm you. The key here is actually in verse 20. It says, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this. Do not celebrate this. Do not think that you are so great that you can do all this fantastic stuff like heal the sick, prophesy, lay hands on people, perform miracles. Think nothing of it, in other words. You know, we tend to get distracted, isn't it? Spiritually distracted. When we begin to even glorify the works of our hands. Right? And, you know, the world out there continues to enforce that in us also. Continues to help us to get very distracted with the works of our hands. Right? Yesterday at our, Friday, you know, at our NDP parade, you know, we were so proud to say, you know, we built this city on rock and roll. Isn't it? Yeah, we built this city on rock and roll. But Jesus is telling us, do not rejoice in this. In other words, think nothing of it. It is I who have given you all these resources, all these abilities to do what you have to do. So basically, Jesus, in the return of the preachers, Jesus is actually giving us three warnings here. Let's have those three warnings out, shall we? He says, there's a warning against just making it simple. That's got to do with using our minds again. A warning against human pride as well. And then thirdly, there's also a warning against backsliding. He says here, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is a call or a reminder that we need to keep our spiritual lives aligned. That's how we keep our names written in heaven. That we need to be continually very careful about our own discipleships. That we need to be very careful not to stray away from the path that God has written, has planned out for us. You know, yes, we may have built this city on rock and roll, you know, but we must remember that everything comes from God, and there's nothing really that we can boast about. There's nothing that we can actually talk about in such a way that Christ's name becomes just a little footnote, and we take glory for ourselves, and we expect people to put up a plaque to remember our names. No, we need to remember these three things when we return as preachers. Let's have the three realities out there again for us. If we think that we can come to church without our minds and just park it at the refreshment table, then let's remind ourselves that an idle mind is a devil's workshop. If we think that what we have built is so great that we can take pride in it, that we can put a name on our names on it, then we must be careful that pride will be our devil's advocate. And when we backsliding and all that, we may be finding ourselves running with the devil. So when we return as preachers, when we come and stand before our Lord, we have to be careful with these three warnings and to embrace these three realities and to keep our lives written in heaven. The final R, which will be the challenge for all of us here, what then, Pastor, is the requirement for all of us? Okay, we know what it means to request for preachers. We know what it means to face rejection as preachers and to reject some of these things as preachers. We also know what it means to return as preachers. So what are our requirements? And here, basically, is our challenge for us this morning. I'd like to end with this quote here, again, from Wesley. Yeah, since it's CAC Sunday, let's do all things Methodist. Yeah, and I'm unashamedly Methodist here, okay? It says here, give me 100 men and women, okay? During his time, just men, okay? Give me 100 men and women who fear nothing but sin, desire nothing but God, and I care not whether they be clergymen or laymen. They alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. Whether clergymen or laymen, it doesn't matter. We're all laborers. We're all preachers. We're all called into this ministry here. Okay? And our spirituality requirement, very simple. Fear nothing but sin. Write that down. Fear nothing but sin. Desire nothing but God. And you know, Wesley cares not. He doesn't matter about the politics here, whether they be clergymen or laymen. They alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon earth. How many of you want to see this vision come to pass? How many of us want to take these verses and pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers? This is the kind of requirements that are required. And I pray that we will take this challenge to count ourselves as the 100. To count ourselves as those who fear nothing but sin, desire no one but God, and to be sent out to preach, to teach, to heal. Let us pray. Dear God, you are Lord of the harvest, and we are your laborers. Lord, we are sick and tired of sitting in the lorry. And as we pray, Lord, that you will send laborers into the harvest field, we pray that you will send us, choose us. So what we are really praying, Lord, is that you would lower that tailgate and that we would go out into this world to preach, teach, and heal and to finish the mission that you have placed upon us. Count us among the 100, Lord. Count us among those who fear nothing but sin, who desire no one but God. Count us, Lord, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.